fat, hungry Professor Wally Wills sat on the crowded, sun-drenched terrace. It was the spring semester, 1991. Wally Wills was one of the five leading experts in the world on Greek black-figured vases from the 6th century B.C. Everything about Wally was huge, and his round face, with bulbous, too red nose and full black beard, made him look like Falstaff or a medieval bon vivant. He sat with good friend and rival, the lanky, handsome, but too thin, Professor Raymond Birch, a scholar known even in Germany. Wills held his cigarette like a Russian count, poised between thumb and middle finger, while Birch wore Doug MacArthur dark glasses and smoked like a punk from Chicago, which, in a way, he felt himself to be. "You've gone completely out of your mind," said Wills under his voice. "Things were better in the old days," Birch replied. "Things are not so bad," Wills grunted. "For one thing, I could blow smoke rings then, in the old days." Birch puffed like a dragon, but could not make the rings. "Too much wind, I suppose. I think that this encroaching email thing is a big part of it. With email, you're never free." A tame sparrow alighted on the wire mesh table and picked at a crumb. "Watch out, Birch, you're in danger," Wills said, suddenly ominous, crushing out his cigarette beneath his Greek sandal. "What do you mean I'm in danger?" said Birch. "How do you know?" "A little bird told me," said Wills. "Once we were great, Wills, but now we're shit." "You naughty boy!" Wills dragged on his cigarette and inhaled the smoke deep into his lungs with unashamed pleasure. "You live like a prince."
"Like a divorced prince."
"Well, the way you are carrying on, you're lucky you weren't sacked," said Wally Wills. Birch's adulteries meant little to Birch. They simply seemed the thing to do. When he thought about it now, a wave of revulsion swept over him, pushing him down into a dark place where there was a ringing in his ears and, far away, a blinding light. Was this just the temper of the times?
"You're insane, Birch," Wally mocked and rubbed his grizzled chin.
He gave Birch the eye while Birch sipped at the crumbling cup.
"I've never felt better," said Professor Birch, "now that I've given up the life of the body. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now I live in the pure white light of the spirit."
Wills pretended to swallow his beer and cigarette smoke at the same time. He shot the mixture straight out through his ears.
"Some advice, my dear Wills," said Birch. "The only way to survive is to live like Job. To remember that in the end, after all our horrid pain, we will be justified."
Birch thought of his own grown daughter who had rejected him for his immorality. Tears came to his eyes. She had said it was only her duty as a woman.
"Yes, Wally, thanks for the warning," Birch said, subdued. "I'll be careful. Of course, now that I live in the pure white light of the spirit, well, these things matter less to me. Do you see what I mean?"
"Of course, dear boy. You are so dear to me,"